All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is April the 22nd, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it is amazing wherever you are at. It is Saturday. It's a little early. I had to get up early. Big work day today. It's a decent day. I'm not working all day. I am trying to work a little more. You know, not that I wasn't working, but I had taken some days off in the week because I was doing podcasting and I had some other things that I was interested in and I needed to free up some of my time. And, you know, it's always, you know, I talk about financial insecurity. It's one thing when, you know, there's just no work or, you know, there's no way to create revenue. There's another thing when you're, you know, or me, you know, when I've taken a few days off in the week and it's starting to reflect in my paycheck, right? And so, and it's been fine. It's all good. I love, you know, these are all byproducts of just sobriety, you know, just figuring it out. There's nothing worse, you know, I think back, and there was nothing worse in my life when I really had no options, right? Because I'm just, the path that I've chosen, the routes, the people I hang out with, the things that I'm doing have all led me to this place where I really don't have a lot of options. And, you know, I don't have that today. Today I have options. And, you know, there was a time when early on we were taking, I was taking some days off and doing the podcasting. I want to take a break from podcasting. And I have to, you know, take a break from having these days off. And so I'm... The whole point is that I got here early. I got a pretty busy day. I'm working a little bit more. I'm actually going to work on Monday this next week. I'm working on Wednesday. You know, I want to get a new computer. And, you know, I've been thinking for the last 2 weeks because I've been thinking about getting this computer. How can I get it, right? How do I want to, you know, because I have some options, right? I can buy it with a credit card, right? I could carry some debt. I have like little stashes of money, you know, that I've stashed, little hiding spots. I could dig that out. Or, you know, maybe I could just, you know, work more. Yeah, let's go. Pearl Jam this morning. It is big announcement this week. Pearl Jam's going back on tour. 9 shows. Pretty exciting. Love Pearl Jam. Yeah, so, you know, the point is that, you know, if I want to struggle, if I want to be have less than, right, if I want to fall short when it comes to the money game, it's probably because I'm not working that much. You know, I shared a couple weeks ago during the President's Day weekend, in that whole chunk of time, you know, I was really stressed out. Not that busy, World's changing. The economy's changing. I'm like, oh, boy. But then the other day, I'm like, you know, you could work more. My dad said it the other day to me, which is funny because my dad, you know, we're at a point in our lives where we're not saying this kind of, well, I'm trying not to say things to him. He will still say things to me, but he didn't, it wasn't bad what he said, but he goes, you know, you could be there more. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's, I think in my whole life, it's always been like this goal is to not work, right? It's always, so this is all old tapes, old behavior, old thinking, old wants, old goals to achieve. I think as a person, you know, in my early days that, you know, the goal was to, you know, be a millionaire, never work, right? Do nothing. Right? And over time and getting sober and working a program, I realized that that is not a great goal. Right? I'm at my best when I am working or partaking or, you know, participating or being involved in something. You know, I find myself at a day during the day, like fantasizing about being home, right? Oh, this day. I think it's an escape. I think it's an escape tactic. I fantasize of being at home, like that would be better. It seems like middle of the day, I get tired and wish I could go home and take a nap. I don't know if it's an escape. I'm not sure what it's about. But I do know one thing. In the reality, if I peel it all back and look at it with full spectrum, I'm at my best when I am working. You know, I handle situations really well at work. I handle relationships with people really well at work. You know, I'm good at what I do. I'm actually very safe at work. But for some reason, I've been pre-programmed. I've programmed myself or I've talked myself into believing that the goal in life is to not work. And I guess it is sort of this retirement. We work hard and then we retire. And for some reason, that just seems like this the most amazing thing. And, you know, I see it a lot in a lot of people that are retired today that they want something to do. Right, they're like, God, I can't just do nothing. You know, retirement is not for the birds because you're not only doing nothing. And when I say that, I mean you're just not working. You've retired, right? A lot of people do stuff, pickleball and going to the beach and walks and part-time jobs. But, you know, our whole goal in life is to get to that age where we get to retire. And you know, a lot of people, it doesn't settle well. And I've sort of been trying to retire. I feel like I'm working retired, right? I work, but my schedule's not so hard that it sort of feels like being retired. I'm on a workcation. I'm working and vacation. But the fact is there are things that I want, and one of them being is a new computer. And do I need this new computer? I do not. Will my life improve because of this new computer? It will not. It might improve a little because I do want to play this game, Star Citizen, and I'm really into it, and it looks like a lot of fun, and I want to play it. There's some other games. I like playing computer games. I'm a kid of the 80s, right? We had Atari, and I do like playing some games. I'm not a huge gamer. I have a little dream to be a computer gamer on YouTube. I'd like to have a gaming channel for this game, Star Citizen. I'd like to start a YouTube or a podcast, a Star Citizen podcast. I would love to jump into this game with both feet and do a bunch of stuff with it. Will I? I don't know. Part of the problem with this game, it's really challenging. It's very difficult. It is you got to be sort of smart. Like you got to be like a space guy, right? You got to fly your spaceship and stuff. And I'm wondering, am I smart enough to play the game? I would be so bummed out if I wasn't, right? I'd be so sad if I wasn't able to have enough brain power to play this game. I think I can. But this is what's going on. And the point is, if this is the things that I want, if these are the things that I want to do, I need to make some more money. Right? So I've been working more. I've been taking some clients on Mondays and Wednesdays. I'm not podcasting for the summer. I'm going to do this podcast. I guess, you know, it's funny. It sort of was like, maybe I won't do this podcast anymore either. And I was talking to a friend of mine. And these like are God winks to me, I think. And he's like, you know, I listened to that podcast you do. And I go, really? I didn't know that. I knew that he knew of it. I knew that, you know, I'd utter the words, I'm sorry about last night, but like I told him and I tell a lot of people, it's hard to, what I found is some of the toughest support are the close circle of friends, right? Because, you know, we're friends, right? We know about each other, right? My friends know about me. And so it's hard to ask my close friends to listen to a podcast that I do. So I don't promote it really. And he's like, you know, I listen to that podcast. I go, well, that's cool. And I go, I was thinking about not doing it anymore. And he said, you need to do it. And I go, oh, okay. And I said, thank you, man. That just made my day, because I don't hear much from people about this podcast. I don't ask, I guess, to really hear from people. Doesn't need to be like that. I don't hear one thing or another. I see a lot of people listen to it, which I think is really cool. But, you know, sometimes it just takes one person. I was taking a break from the podcast a while back, and somebody had reached out to my wife and had asked why wasn't I not doing the podcast. And so that was just what I needed to kind of keep it going. And then talking to my buddy yesterday, which has really made my day. Not that it, you know, it's not like he said, I listen to your podcast, it's amazing. He just said, I listen to it and you need to do it. And, it is, I do want to do it, and I do need to do it, because what's up with the voice telling me not to, right? What's up with that? Devil. But yeah, so back to the point is that what I realized and what I've always known is if I want something, I have to work for it, right? And, I can work as little as I want or as much as I want, but if I'm going to work a little, I'm going to do without. And we are definitely doing without. I was telling somebody the other day, we're a 1982 middle class family, right? We're like from the 80s. We don't have any money to go out to eat. I mean, we have money, but could we spend, I don't know. I think about everything we could spend it on or not spend it on, right? I can, you know. And it talks about in this program that this can happen, where we become miserly, right? And I've become a little miserly, and I don't want to be miserly. I want to spend money and do stuff and have fun. And I'm thinking that we've learned some lessons through the last couple of years as far as money goes. But I'm ready to, you know, live a bit, right? I want to have a little bit of fun, and one of these things is I want to get a computer. So I'm working more, and I feel good. You know, I feel really good. Life is good. And Pearl Jam is going on tour, and I want to go see Pearl Jam, right? I'm playing in Chicago. They're playing Dallas, Fort Worth, Chicago, Minnesota, Indianapolis, which is really cool because I follow Pat McAfee, and Ty Schmidt, who's on Pat McAfee's show, has his Pearl Jam hat on the table in front of him, on the toxic table. And I'm just, you know, I want to hear if Ty Schmidt gets to go see Pearl Jam, because they're playing in Indianapolis. I know he's a big fan. And so it'll be fun to follow. Hopefully we can get some tickets. Hopefully I can make some money to pay for it. Because I don't want to carry any credit card debt. Somehow I got in a little credit card debt through Christmas. And then I had someone quit, and then business slowed down, and so I'm just slowly paying it off. Yeah, I don't want to get any more debt, so it's time to work more. And so that's what I will do. I did go to the meeting last night, and it was great. A buddy of mine asked if he would share, and you know, he's a guy that I've sort of been watching go through this kind of this spiritual awakening, right? This time in this program where all of a sudden things start clicking, right? Things start clicking. And I think it's awesome. I've been doing this program for a long time, and things have just started clicking, right? I mean, I might have had glimpses of them in the past, but I feel like I have an understanding of what I am, what my problem is, what I need to do to fix it, and then doing it. And enjoying that, right, and experiencing that, going through this, understanding what the issue is. I'm self-centered, lack of God. How can I fix it? And, he was a guy, or he's a guy that he was like, hey, I had a dream, right? Or I just had this moment and it just happened. And I'm not sure if these steps are important. I just know that I like being sober and I like coming to the meetings. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. You know, and I shared in the meeting last night, you know, I'm still just getting my wheels under me from coming through this pandemic, right? I did not go to any meetings during the pandemic, no Zoom meetings or anything. And I shared in the past that I was sort of in a weird place prior to the pandemic with my meetings in the first place. I'd gotten to this sort of thing where I had become a little judgmental, right? I had become a little bit bothered, right? I started to look at people and be like, I don't think this guy's going to make it. This guy's never going to make it. Just, oh my God, this guy's sharing. Oh my God, you know, this really, this not a great humble spot. Very self, sort of getting victim-y, right? Had that victim-ese language going on, and I had become closed off. And then the pandemic hit, and we didn't have any meetings, and I was like, that's fine. But over time, you know, especially I missed that Sunday morning meeting. We'd take the kids and my wife and walk around town, and it was just a different, like, life. It was a real life shift for us. And so going through all that and then starting to get back to meetings, I had a lot of overwhelming feelings. A lot of humility had come over me, and all of a sudden I had gratitude again, right? And I had, you know, I realized how lucky we were to have this and how easily and quickly it was taken away, especially from something that I thought would never be taken away, right? That was always the message. Are we going to, like, hey, it's supposed to snow this weekend. Will this still be a meeting? If you could get to the liquor store, there will be a meeting, right? Which basically said nothing shuts down the meetings. And when the meetings got shut down, I was like, oh, wow. So coming through all that and then reminding myself, hey, we are lucky to be able to do these meetings and have what we have. But I'm just starting to get back into it, right? And I think when I did come back, I came back to this group of guys in this meeting, and we've all sort of kind of became friends. And I don't want to say grown up in the last year, but, you know, woken up, right? Sort of all come out of this fog. And a lot of these guys, you know, 4 or 5 years, 3, 4, 5 years of sobriety. And, you know, it's a tricky time because you think 5 years, 6 years of sobriety, I got this, right? And this is, I think, when the miracle starts happening, right? This is where, because at 5 or 6 years, I think we start thinking, what do I need this for? I'm pretty good, right? And this is the part that they talk about, you know, having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we now have to be there for the next alcoholic, because at some point we are going to feel like we got this. Like 5, 6 years, I remember thinking I was surprised I got a day, right? I remember when I first came in, I couldn't get a day. And so to have a whole day of sobriety, I was like, whoa. And then to get 2 days, right? And then to get a week. You know, and then, you know, if you're familiar with getting sober, you know, there's, you know, the program rewards people with certain lengths of time with coins. It's simple. I don't know if it's silly, but it's simple and we appreciate it. And I remember getting my white chip, you know, which means that you would like to try to find a new way of life. And then the red chip at 90 days, right? And then the blue chip at 6 months. And you just keep getting these chips and you just keep moving along. And I remember, I can't believe I'm getting this much time. And, but, you know, it wears off, right? It's all this whole system. We got to keep working at it. Got to keep addressing it, looking at it, you know. Somebody said, you know, well, admitting I was powerless over alcohol, that my life had become unmanageable, was probably the hardest thing I had to do. And I said, yeah, it was probably the first humble thing I had even done to admit, right? I didn't admit anything. I used to say in the meetings, I didn't become an alcoholic until the day that I got sober, because up until that point, I just drank a lot, right? Like I couldn't work on this and get better from it and move past it and address it and learn how to not become or get back to the place that I was at unless I addressed the fact of what I actually was, which was an alcoholic. You know, I had to admit that. If I don't admit it, I don't know what the problem is, right? Then I'm just another victim. That's the other thing, the victim thing. My God. You know, understanding where, you know, how I came into this program with a complete, you know, like a chip on my shoulder. I wasn't aware of it, but it's what I had. I had a chip on my shoulder. I had to get sober. I'd been having to get sober my whole life. You know, my parents, my dad was so obsessed with us not using marijuana and drinking. He was so obsessed with us not using marijuana. And honestly, when I was a kid, that's all we cared about, smoking pot. I mean, we did drink every once in a while. I think like every other kid, we would do this. Every once in a while, we'd get in the liquor cabinet and get a buzz or barf or something. But our thing was weed. And so we were just in this constant battle over weed. And my dad, going to rehab. I look back on it and I think, oh my God, that was just nuts. What a nutsy way to grow up. And going to rehab, I mean, that new life, constantly grounded, being drug tested, all because of cannabis. I mean, I don't think people should be smoking it when you're a teenager. When you're an adult, do whatever you want. I mean, you know, is it affecting your life? I don't know. I know that back in those days, it was definitely, I was unmanageable with that stuff. Marijuana had become a huge problem just because I liked it. And I don't know if it's because I really liked it or it's because I couldn't do it. Right? You can't do that. Oh, shit. Well, I don't know. Maybe that made it times 10, but it was a real battle. A real battle. And, but, you know, it seems like all my life I've been either in trouble or trying to get off something, trying to change it. And so when I started to get a few days, I was like, holy crap, this feels amazing. But you do that for a while, and that amazing starts to wear off. And, you know, but we worked these steps in over years, right? And I see my buddy, this guy that because I asked him to speak last night, he did an amazing job. But I think he's got 7 years, and he's like, I'm starting to get it, right? I'm starting to have that spiritual awakening. And I think I said the other day, it's the one program we come to where I hope to leave with less, right? You know, as a person that wants, what am I getting? What do I get? You know, this is the program you come to and you hope you leave with less. You hope you leave with less garbage. You know, what are these tools that allow me to take a look at this stuff that I can clean out? Right? And he mentioned it. He's like, I feel like I'm having this spiritual awakening. You know, I shared the other day, it's the removal for me. From what I understand, how it makes me feel, the work that I've done, what I've learned is that, for me, it's the removal of the fear. The self-centered, the spiritual awakening, we are spiritually awake. We just have a pillow over us, muffled us. And we got to get that pillow open off of us and wake us up and get the sunshine. And that's all that, you know, the moral inventory that we do. You know, the one thing about my buddy that called me and said, you need to do this podcast is he's not in recovery. He's not in recovery. He likes the podcast and he's not in recovery. And because I think these same problems happen to everybody. I think we are lucky because if we don't, the repercussions are so bad. And at least for me, like if I don't work this program, if I don't figure this out, my options are drinking. And driving and possibly killing somebody or myself, losing my family, losing everything, right? You know, I'm sitting here going, geez, I need to maybe work an extra day. You know, if I'm drinking, I'm not working at all, right? I am a person and I have no standards, right? I have no wants and needs. I don't give a shit, right? I just let my life go when that happens again. And I don't want that to happen again. And, you know, but it's this transition. It doesn't happen right away. And we want it to happen so quickly. But like my buddy, you know, he's transitioning from a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility to a guy that cares of others, that's found humility, that's starting to remove those boxes and starting to feel that. And this is it. It's been a bit. And I see it. I can see it in him. I remember, you know, when I was wondering about how come nobody had asked me if I wouldn't be a somebody's sponsor? And I was like, you know, nobody's asked me. And somebody said, yeah, they can see it. They'll know, they'll know when you're ready. You might not be able to see it, but people can see it. And I agree. I see this change in my friend, and it's really cool. And he's like, the cool part is he's in shock, right? He's shocked that this is happening, especially 7 years into a being sober, because you would think at 7 years you'd have it all figured out. And it's just constantly giving us a little bit more and more. And it's really cool. And that's why I asked him to share last night. He did a great job. And, you know, but like I said, my buddy, my other friend, he's not getting sober. His life isn't ruined by alcohol. But we are, that's what I was going to say. You know, we're lucky because if I don't address this, if I don't work on this, I'll do all that over. And that scares me. And I don't want that. So I do work on it. But there are people out there that go through this same kind of shit. You know, self-centered asshole. I always say, we admitted we are powerless over self, that our lives have become unmanageable. That brings a whole lot of people in, right? And I know that there are a lot of people out there that are self-centered. We're naturally that way. But unfortunately, do not have a program. Do not fear God. Do not fear anything. All they do is just sort of loathe in it. And it's a miserable existence. And so, you know, it's cool that my buddy listens, even though he's not getting sober. It's cool that I have other friends that listen that aren't getting sober. And then I have friends that listen that do get sober. And I think what it means is that we're all experiencing life. And unless we have some tools, man, it can be really overwhelming. And it's a lot to handle. So just super grateful. I was going to read the Daily Reflections. I got to go work. I can't believe it's already 7:45. What am I? It's like, what the hell am I doing here? All right. Daily Reflections. New soil, new roots. Moments of perception can build into a lifetime of spiritual serenity, as I have excellent reasons to know. Roots of reality. Supplanting the neurotic underbrush will hold fast despite the high winds of the forces which would destroy us or which we would use to destroy ourselves, as Bill sees it. I came to AA green, a seedling quivering with exposed taproots. It was for survival, but it was a beginning. I stretched, developed, twisted, but with the help of others, my spirit eventually burst up from the roots. I was free. I acted, withered, went inside, prayed, acted again, understood anew. As one moment of perception struck up from the roots, spirit arms lengthened into the strong green shoots, high-springing servants stepping skyward. Here on earth, God unconditionally continues to the legacy of my higher love. My AA life put me on a different footing. My roots grasped a new soil. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, read that on your own. That sounds good. Yeah, you know, I think sort of what I'm talking about, you know, over time, you know, we do get rooted, right? And sometimes winds of different strengths come along, and sometimes it tests our roots. And, you know, if you've been working a program, if I've been working this program and my roots are strong, you know, any winds can come and I should be able to hang. But, you know, the winds of this new computer have blown me a little skew, and I'm having to grow some stronger roots because I want to be able to handle this. And that's what this program allows me and has taught me, and I'm super grateful for that. So I hope everyone has a great day, and we will talk to you later. Bye-bye.